kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
Welcome everyone, and it's good to be back again in fellowship. And here we are facing a new year, and we seek the Lord for this new year. And I want to just encourage you in the word why the Lord still tarries, the work that he is doing with us. And I felt impressed to share with you something that he's laid on my heart, and we're going to call this teaching today, Are You Being Led or Driven in This Life? Are you being led or driven in this life? One of the things that we need to learn when we walk with the Lord and we've been empowered and baptized in the Holy Spirit, he has come to take over from striving, from trying, doing it in our strength. And we know that that is nothing new, because the Lord has been really emphasizing this for a number of years now. But as we're facing this new year, this is something that I believe the Lord requires of us, because he has made this available for us. We have to learn that our faith, our walk of faith, is also a rest. It is not striving. It is not trying to believe. God has done all that. Christ achieved all of that at Calvary, when his final words were, it's finished, it's done. All the law, all the striving, all the trying to be good, offering up the best sacrifices, and all that the law required, which nobody could keep. And God knew that. And we know that the law was a type of tutor. It was to bring us to grace, to faith. But we fail to learn that this is a rest. It is a peace. This is why the Lord says, my peace I give unto you, not as the world gives. And we are still learning this one. And that is why God permits us to go through the various trials that we go through, because eventually we begin to get it. There's nothing I can do. Worry, anxiety isn't going to change anything. My trying to put it right invariably makes it worse. And eventually we start to get it, that God is in control, he is sovereign, and he is telling us to let go of those things that are hindering our faith. Many times we are our own worst enemy. And we think at times it's the enemy that's doing this and so on. And it's not always. It's actually our getting in the way, our trying to do it, that actually opens the door to the enemy to buffet, because he'll seek any opportunity he can to keep you out of the perfect will of God and the plan of God. That is how he works. You see, in our salvation, in our walk of faith and what Christ has done for us, it's like when you travel. You may be traveling a long distance and you've got the opportunity to fly and to go business class, first class, or to go economy. And everyone, of course, likes to go, and if they can, is to go business class because it's more comfortable, there's more amenities, everything is better, you can rest, there are not people around you interfering and so on. And that is exactly the same in this walk. We're so willing to put up with second best because we are not guarding our minds. We're not still learning to wait on God and let God work. Let him go in front. Let him show that he is capable of doing the impossible. I want us to look at a scripture that we know very well in Isaiah 26 and verse 3. And here this says something about what God wanted to do for Israel with regard to their salvation, their being brought out of bondage. And here he says in Isaiah 26 and verse 3, "You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on him, because he trusts in him." And it says, "Trust in the Lord forever, for in Yahweh the Lord is everlasting strength." So he says here, you will keep him in perfect peace. And this is what God wants us to have when we walk with him each day. A peace in the mind and heart and spirit. Because our mind is stayed on him and we trust in him. So we see that this peace is very much connected with the mind. And this is why if we allow him, the Holy Spirit will set guards in place, especially over the mind. I think some of us still have not taken this seriously enough, that your mind is under attack and you're allowing the enemy in. You're not seeking God as you should for the Holy Spirit to set those guards around the mind. We can in many ways see that when we look at Psalm 91. But these are things that we have to desire, that we want for the glory of God. And this is why sometimes God will allow your mind to be all over the place, because he's trying to get your attention, that he wants to lead and guide you in peace. In other words, first class, with not all the commotions and all that life is, all the stress and anxiety and the fear and the bondage and so on. Why is it we still want to go back into that situation? Why is it we still want to mix so much with these people, bless them, as lovely as they are, but they are held in fear and bondage and anxiety and so on, only finding that after a time you need to walk away, get away from them. Why? Because it's infectious. You take it on board. You start to lose that peace, the Prince of Peace that's supposed to govern and guard our mind. And we, all of us, have to use wisdom with our family, with those that we see regularly, people in the world, those you're at work with and so on, because we are in the world, of course. God has left us in the world, but he's left us so that he can show his power in weakness. He can show that we can overcome in all these situations. but all too often we're taken in by it. You see, because this is all about the mind being preserved, protected. You see, the mind is where we're programmed, and the enemy is always coming up with new ways and new things to control man's mind. There's always something new, or somebody new, or some person, or whatever it is. And many times it's to take authority over the mind, the thinking. And we have to learn to keep our minds closed to the powers of darkness. And this is why the enemy tries to attack in the mind. And we know from the parable of the sower in Matthew 13 and verse 22. I'll just read it quickly. In Matthew 13 and verse 22, he says, "Now he who received seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful." What is all that basically there? It's all about the world, anxiety, fear, riches. If you want to be rich, there comes with it a lot of responsibility. It's all about the world, the world's ways, how the world thinks, which is completely opposite to God and the way God works. The world isn't interested in God. You have probably been mixing over the last 2 weeks with people who are not interested in God. And we so easily can take it on board. It robs us of our peace, our time, our consecration with the Lord. And then we find we start talking and thinking like the world. And before long, we won't believe unless we can see, because we're using logic, our own mind. I'm in control of my discernment. And that is how it goes. That is the parable of the sower. That is Matthew 13, 22. That is what the world does. It chokes the word, the seed. And we, all of us, have to be on our guard. And your mind, in many ways, tells you where you are in this walk and with God. If your mind is still held and in confusion, worry and anxiety, finding it hard to focus on the Lord, that is telling you something. It is a warning, because you cannot be led in peace by the Holy Spirit. There's a driving in whatever you put your hand or mind to. There's not the confidence that the Holy Spirit, he's gone before, preparing the way so that you move by faith. One doesn't have that. It's, I'm in control. And that is where the strife and the loss of peace and so on happens. We really need to take this on board, brothers and sisters, because this is how God is wanting us to walk this year, all the while he tarries. The cares of the world is what it has to offer, and it occupies your time, your relationship with God, your peace, and hence the striving. We're out of God's will, in other words. This is what it does. When we spend too much time with wrong company, the wrong sort of people, you start striving. You start losing your peace because it's occupying your time, your thinking, and you begin to plan around with them, with their plans. And we, all of us, have to be on our guard with this one. And then you find that God just doesn't fit into the equation. And he's no longer in what you want to do. You're finding that you're wanting to do things, and after a time you're going to see God isn't in it. He's not blessing. And this is what happens. And this is what God was teaching the children of Israel. This is what he was showing that he would do with them. You will keep him in perfect peace. That's us, whose mind is stayed on you because you trust in him. Trust in the Lord forever. So this, our minds being stayed on him 24/7, is very much connected with our faith, our walk of faith, and trusting the Lord. You see, we still have areas, don't we, where we're still held or we're driven. Did you know that when we get into that state spiritually, it's in many ways like what the world has. When you see alcoholics that are driven, or people who excessive eating, they're driven. We see today people, particularly young people, they are held by their phones, iPhones. They are driven, controlled by them. It can be your hobby. It can be anything. We see where people are held, they're driven. They're controlling demons. And we do that spiritually. And this is where the Lord is bringing us into that rest, that peace with him. You will know what dominates a person by what they speak about. It doesn't take long to find out with a person what is dominating, what is controlling their life, because it comes out. You hear it over and over again. And that should never be with a Christian. That shouldn't be what comes out of our mouths. And the wonderful thing about God is that he leads us. He doesn't drive us or force us. You see, the Holy Spirit, he's gentle. He is seen like as a dove. And so your journey each day determines what state you are in when you arrive at the other destination. So if you've flown all that distance in business class, you've arrived at your destination in peace, in comfort, in joy. In other words, it was a pleasant, it was a good flight. But that's not always the same if you go economy or whatever. You'll hear things, oh, we were packed in like sardines. Oh, it was so noisy and no leg room and everything. That's the end of your journey. That's what you're saying. That's what you're confessing. I'm using that as because that is what we say spiritually. Are you worried and concerned that things are late? It hasn't turned out how you thought? Are you going to be driven by unbelief, fear, worry, anxiety? This is why God allows these tests in our lives. Purely for that. Are we going to allow it to affect our minds, our thinking 24/7? Or are we going to cast these down? We're going to keep these doors closed to the mind. See, the enemy knows where to attack because he knows that's where man is programmed. And this is what God is doing. We've now handed it over and we say, no, Lord, you program me by the Spirit, by the Word of God. And one of the ways that God will deliver us is to allow the whole thing to collapse. That's often how we get delivered, and that is the mercy of God. When you have strived, when you have been involved in something, God brings it to an end and he allows it to collapse. And it can be anything in your life. I remember somebody once, years ago, said to me, I'm in terrible debt. I owe a lot of money. And I haven't got it. I can't pay. And I don't know what to do. I'm at my end's wit. I can't sleep. It's just with me 24/7, the burden. I said, raise the flag, the white flag, surrender. Just give up. Raise your hands. Nothing I can do. It's gone too far. And that saint looked at me as though I'd gone completely bonkers, mad. And I said, that is why God has brought you to the end. This is what he's doing. And the only thing you can do is to surrender and just tell them, I have no money, I can't pay. And how God then began to turn that around after that person settled it and came clean and so on. God was faithful and merciful. And he will bring us to the end in situations so that we let go. Because it's very important if you want that peace to be led by the Spirit, to hear God, to be in fellowship with him, to know that he's leading and guiding you in every situation. God is not going to let us go under. He never has and he never will. It looks as though it is. And the enemy becomes so vocal. So why does he? It gives itself away in the end. You see, Jesus is our great shepherd, and he leads his sheep. He doesn't force them. He's not rough with us, always shouting and beating us. He doesn't do that. And to be led means that you have time to adjust. That's the reason for it, that he moves in the way that he does. Sometimes it seems as though he just doesn't move fast enough, but it's because he's leading you. And in your journey, it takes time to adjust in things. It takes time in which to view things, to assess things. It gives time for those who are even going astray. It gives you time to see whether there are predators on the horizon. They're trying to destroy. This is why he's the shepherd, and this is why he leads in the way that he does. Because his leading in your life prepares you each day for what he's doing, so that you can assess, so that you are spiritually there at that place. If it requires a step of faith or it requires that hurdle to jump over, or that decision to be made, or whatever it is, that is his leading with you. And he can only do that when your mind is stayed on him, because that is his perfect peace. And I believe the Lord's really stressing this for what we're facing this year, if the Lord tarries. There may be decisions, both individually and corporately as a church, that we may have to take. We don't know what tomorrow, next week, next month holds. But one thing we do know is our great shepherd Jesus, he leads and guides us into all truth. But he needs time. There is time needed for that. There is time needed for maybe when a predator is around trying to attack, and you have to put up your guards in particular against this onslaught. It all takes time. Faith takes time. We don't rush our meetings when we come together. We allow the Holy Spirit to work, you see. This is how he leads and guides us. So I go back to that question, are you being led or driven in this life? Let's look at some scriptures before we bring this to a conclusion. In Proverbs 16 and verse 9, Proverbs 16 and verse 9. A man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. So there we are. You have the confidence that God directs your steps, even though they may require some certain planning or decisions. That's how life is, but you can have the confidence God will direct my path, my steps. He won't let me go astray in this decision as I've waited on him and so on. You have that confidence. And we know that it says, doesn't it, in Romans 8, which we're always quoting, that all things work together for good to them that love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. So there we are again, the confidence of everything in my life. If I put God first, everything works together for good, no matter how strange, how indifferent, how bizarre it may look, it does. And what does he say also in Romans 8 and verse 14? Romans 8 and verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. So what are we actually addressing today with regard to this teaching? This is about our sonship. This is how matured sons and daughters of God walk with God. Our walk with God is a sign of our sonship, that we are not being anxious, we're not being driven in any way or form, we are being led by the great shepherd Jesus. He's the one who's going forward. We follow him. And if we start to get in front of him, then we stop. Because otherwise, you start to be driven and anxiety and the enemy gets in. In many ways, it looks as though we're laid back. We need, the world would say, you need a kick up the backside. You're too laid back. That's probably how the world would view us, but it's not how God views us. Because he's leading and he's guiding us. And there is a lot that we face, both individually and corporately, in our walk with God. There are many things that are entailed in this life. This life now, this world is so complex. Life has become so complex, difficult. It gets harder and harder. So how much more are we reliant on him, resting in his presence so that he can lead and guide us through this treachery? Life isn't easy. There are many things in life that can trip us up so easily. It's like walking through a war zone in this life. And this is why there is so much mental issues and problems now with people, and young people in particular. And sadly, it can be found in the house of God, and it shouldn't be. With what God has provided through us through Jesus Christ. So there we are. Let the Holy Spirit, let him have his way. Let him be your guard over your mind, so that your mind can be upon the Lord 24/7, experiencing that peace, his voice, his leading, his guidance, because you need that. That gives you confidence to know that God is with you where you go and what you say and what you do. We need that confidence. This is how Jesus walked. He knew his Father was with him. And so whatever he did, whatever he encountered, whatever was required, whether it's healing or a miracle or the feeding of the 5,000 or preaching or teaching, he rested in that because he knew his Father was with him. And he was doing what was revealed. And this is what God wants to bring us to that place, that we do and say and act that which is revealed to us. And it can only come when we walk with him in that peace and that assurance, with our mind and heart stayed on him. And anything that is threatening that in your relationship with God, anything, even if it is your family, you have to be hard on that. And you have got to allow the sword of the Spirit to divide in that, to maintain your walk, your relationship, your experience with him. That is what I believe, saints, he's going to work on this year if he tarries. And let's just let him do it. Let's yield over. Don't resist him. Don't get your mind into it. God is God. He's on the throne. And he's begun that work, and he will complete and finish it for his glory.
Let him in constancy follow the master.
All lies down before you, and cradled in the love of Jesus, of